We are in Alma 56 today, and I just want to start by reading this quote that I found in President Nelson's last conference talk, so in March of 2020. And I love that it says this quote. It says, "What will happen as you more intentionally hear, hearken, and heed what the Savior has said, and what he is saying now through his holy prophets, I promise you will be blessed with additional power to deal with temptation, struggles, and weaknesses. I promise miracles in your marriage, family relationships, and daily work. And I promise that your capacity to feel joy will increase even if turbulence increases in your life." I felt like that was such a huge answer to prayer, as I have prayed at this time to know how to increase fortifying within and also how to increase joy in these turbulent times, because it really feels like we're in a sea of doubt and despair and despondency. And I just felt this was so huge and such a great tie-in to today's lesson. So in 56, Helaman writes this letter to Moroni. And I just want you to visualize for a minute and think, Helaman is older than Moroni, most likely. He is the prophet of God. And Moroni was called at 25 to be the captain of the army. And Helaman is already, you know, the prophet. And so probably in his 50s, maybe later. But this is the prophet of God writing you a letter, who is now commanding this army of these anti-Nephi Lehis. So think of the respect and the love that Moroni has for this prophet of God. And as Helaman writes the letter, he calls Moroni his brother in the Lord and in war. And I love that, because if the prophet of God spoke to me, how much would it mean for him to say, "You are my sister in the gospel"? That would mean that he was acknowledging that I'm a child of God and that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So I really love that. Okay, in verse 8, he retells the story. Moroni, I'm sure, already knows this, but of how he came to lead these 2,000. And he says, "But I would not suffer that they should break the covenant, their parents, that they had made. And so obviously this prophet of God is going to be consulted about this, that these anti-Nephi Lehis are tired of watching the Nephites, or not even tired of it, just feel so guilty that they're not doing their part to fight. And so they're about to break their oath. So again, that goes with that discussion. Is there ever a time that it's okay to break our oaths and covenants? No, there never is. We are so blessed for keeping those. And so I love that he says, "I knew God would strengthen us if we kept that oath." And they kept that oath and covenant. So I love that. So he continues on telling about these 2,000. Okay. And I love that in verse 12, it says, "And the Lamanites," So it says, "They have died in the cause. Nevertheless, we may console ourselves in this point, that they have died in the cause of their country and their God." Because he's talking about all of these people who have died of Antipas's army, and his numbers have greatly reduced. And so he's coming and joining his 2,000s to this. And so I love that he says, remember, they've died in the cause of God. That's important. Okay. And then in verse 12, it tells us the Lamanites retained many prisoners, all of whom are chief captains, for none others have they spared alive. Now, the reason I want a quick touch on that is because when Moroni got the inspiration to trade a whole family for one of the, so he says, "If you will give me a man, a woman, and his children for one of yours," because the Lamanites wouldn't let the women and children go free, the Nephites would. And so as he comes up and is inspired to do this, remember, he goes in, he's so sick of Amoron's fraud, he goes in and rescues them anyway, and they're able to retake the city without any loss of life, which is huge, such a big answer to prayer. But here's the Lamanite response. Now they don't even keep the women and children alive. They don't let them go. And it looks like they're not even keeping most of the fighters, the warriors. They are the army. That's the better way to say it. They're only keeping their chief captains alive. And so it would be easy for Moroni to really question that inspiration. And I want to go back to, when we are inspired of God, all we can do is act and trust that we're doing what God wants us to do and leave the rest to Him. It doesn't matter if it doesn't turn out the way we think it's going to. We just have to trust that God wants obedience and He wants us to do what He's asked us to do, and we move forward in faith. We can't get thrown when things don't turn out the way we want them to. And I'm sure this was very disheartening for Moroni, but again, it goes back to that scripture in verse 11. They died in the cause of God, yea, and they are happy. And if you go to the footnote, it's verse 28:12, or chapter 28:12 of Alma. And chapter 28:12, the very end of it says, they are raised to dwell at the right hand of God in a state of never-ending happiness because they die in the cause of God. And so we need to remember that if we are obedient, that's all that matters. We march forward doing what we're supposed to do, and we never vary from that. We don't question the Lord. We're just obedient. Don't break your oaths and trust Him. Keep your eye on what He's asking us to do. Okay, so then he goes on to tell the story of joining this continue the story of joining Antipas's army. And I love in 17 that, well, in 16 it says they were depressed in body as well and in spirit, for they have fought valiantly day and toiled by night to maintain the cities, and they had suffered afflictions of every kind. And you could literally ask as a family, have we ever felt that way? Have we fought valiantly by day and night and toiled and suffered afflictions of every kind? And many are at this time in their health and in their economics and even in their spirit. And I love that it says in 17, but they were determined to conquer in this place or die. I am so determined to do what God wants me to do, even unto death. And I love that it says this of them. And then it says, these sons of mine gave them great hopes and much joy. Only 2,000. That is a drop in the bucket. But I love that it has given them hope and continue to feed this determination to conquer. And it just is such a great example to us. Okay, well, when the Lamanites see this, they stop. It kind of is intimidating, even though it's only 2,000, and they decide not to come upon them. That's a huge answer to prayer, because it tells us they're able then to fortify and become and strengthen and to become stronger. This little army that Helaman leads are boys. They have never fought. They have not been raised in homes with mothers and fathers that were warriors. They have been raised where their mothers and fathers buried their weapons of war. And not only that, they leave the city that they have been given, Jershon, when there is a war. So I don't even know that these boys have seen war. They have never been trained to fight. These are young, young men. And so there's a lot of coming together that needs to happen and fortifying and strengthening. And so I love that they're given this time, and they see that as a huge answer to prayer. Okay, now another 2,000 comes to join them and join their army. So now they and to bring them provisions, and so they're strengthened. And in verse 30 it says, now when the Lamanites saw, they began to grow uneasy, and we were desirous, it says the Nephites are desirous to bring stratagem upon them, because they see their uneasiness. And so they come up with this plan. And they say to Helaman, if you will march as if you are heading to the city Antipara, as if you're going to carry them provisions, because they know the Lamanites are leery of all these provisions and these numbers that are coming to join them, because it's happened now a couple times. So they know they can trick them. They can use the same thing that they use over and over, their pride. And if it looks like it's just these 2,000, of course the Lamanites are going to be cocky and think that they can beat them. And so they do. And here's the scripture that I love about this. It says, 34, and now in the city Antipara were stationed the strongest army of the Lamanites, yea, the most numerous. And so as they start to go, they are able to draw away this huge army after them. And it is incredible. It says, and thus we did in 36, we did lead away the most powerful army of the Lamanites. And that's pride, that they are like just going to wipe out these 2,000, not even thinking of keeping an army there to stay and preserve the city. And again, they can use that again and again and again, that pride, and not thinking through that the Lamanites have. So it tells us, and can you imagine how terrifying for Helaman in these 2,000, but yet their faith and their confidence in God. And so it tells us several times they're marching forward and they dare not turn to the right or the left. And it mentions that twice in this chapter. And the reason I love that is I think we can overlook, we can march to the right and look for answers where we ought not look. We can look off like the Pharisees and Sadducees did for greater answers, and for other places we can go to find peace, or we can go to find answers that we're searching for that we don't feel we're getting. Or we can march to the left and we can become complacent and we can say, where is God in all of this? And we can become lazy. And it truly is keeping this march and looking for miracles, our eye on the prophet, our eye on the Lord, our eye on the tree of life, and continuing our march. And I love that it says Helaman speeded up his march. They could march fast. They weren't trained warriors, but they can march fast. And twice they go to bed at night. And I do find that interesting that the Nephites and Lamanites do this, and they sleep. And then the Lamanites wake up before dawn and are already coming after them. And they have to do this. And so the third day, and I'm sure, can you imagine how tired and exhausted they are? So the third day of this, they don't even know, but here is this army, Antipas's army is in their rear, and it is trying to overtake the Lamanites, and that is the plan. So they know in theory it's there, but they don't know if this has happened. And so all of a sudden, the Lamanites stop, and they don't know if this is a trick or if Antipas's army has caught them. And this is such an awesome part. And so here it is in verse 45 or 44. It says, therefore, what say you? He says to his sons, what say you? Should we turn and go to battle? They have never fought. Should we turn? Because they could be fighting Antipas and his army. And should we turn back, or do you think this is a trick? What do you think? And this is the prophet of God. And I love their answer. They said, 46, and I love here he says, as I have ever called them my sons, for all of them were young. Even so they said to me, Father, behold, our God is with us, and he will not suffer we should fall. Then let us go forth. We would not slay our brethren if they would let us alone. Therefore, let us go, lest they overpower the army of Antipas. And then I would read 47 and 48 with your family. It is just beautiful to talk about these 2,000 stripling warriors, and I trust you guys to do that. Those are such awesome, awesome scriptures, and how we can become like that. But I want to end at the end of this. And so they've had this battle, and Helaman is just terrified, because we learn Antipas falls and many of the captains of the Nephite army fall and are killed. And it is a huge battle. And so he is terrified. Helaman knows there's got to be some of these young boys who are not trained warriors, who have never fought before. Yes, they have exceeding faith, but they have not been trained in battle. And he's sure some of them have died. And so here's the very first miracle. But behold, to my great joy, verse 56, there had not one soul of them fallen to the earth. Yea, and here's the second great miracle. They had fought as if it were with the strength of God. Yea, never were men known to have fought with such miraculous strength and with such mighty power. They did fall upon the Lamanites and did frighten them. And for this cause did the Lamanites deliver themselves up as prisoner of war. That is the power of God. That is the power of miracles that President Nelson talks about. That is what happens when we keep our eye on the prize and we don't turn to the right or the left. But we expect God's backing. And we know if we die before our journey's through, or if we die in this battle, we know where we will go, because we've kept our eye on the Savior. And with heed and with diligence, we have hearkened and listened to his word. And we are promised miracles. And not only that, we are promised joy in this sea of turbulence that is all around us. And I love how this so coincides with this story and this army of Helaman. What a great example of what we can do as parents to train our children in the faith of God. And I love that. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much the Savior loves you.